Welcome again, everyone. I would sing the Wiki anthem, but I'm not sure I can remember the words. There are some really good Wiki songs, which we were trying to get for the background music, but no one was willing to have their music licensed for such a purpose at the moment. So, this is Creative Commons music, quite right. So, hello, I'm SJ Klein, and I'm really excited to see so many people here today. It's just amazing. And I'm just really pleased that Wikimania was able to come to Harvard Law School. So I wanted to run down a few notes so you can all get around the conference later today. The sessions other than this one are going to be in 6 different rooms. The plenaries are all going to be in Austin Hall. Thanks a lot. So, we're going to have 3 sessions today. And after this session, people are going to break out into Austin Hall and the first floor in this building with a few discussions upstairs. There's streaming and there are transcripts available online. And those of you who have computers can access all of this from the conference website. Streaming will be available for 3 different rooms, this room and a room downstairs, and there'll be audio available from 1 other room. There are a lot of sessions going on. I wanted to give you a really quick recap so that people know. There are discussions about trust in Wikipedia, about comparing content across different publishers, about attaining consensus, and what it takes to validate great material. We have the editor-in-chief from World Book coming to speak on a validation panel. We have Larry Lessig talking in Austin Hall just after lunch about the ethics of the free culture movement and a discussion of license compatibility. I wanted to thank everyone who helped make this possible. And if you see people wandering around with staff shirts, just grab them and, hug them. That's right. And if you have any problems, of course, there's the information desk just outside here. And there will be people walking around. And there will be a person in each room who can give you a hand. There's also going to be open space discussions. And at the end of this session, I'll talk just very briefly about how you can set up your own short conversation. After this whole session closes, there will be space for people to hang out and talk about whatever they want and arrange their own conversations throughout the rest of the weekend. A few logistical details. Please make sure you turn off your cell phones when you're in rooms. If you have anything else that makes a good deal of noise and is alerting you that you have to get to your next meeting, likewise. There is a collaborative wiki available. There's a Gobi server for people who want something like Subi to edit for real-time transcription. If you want to help out with that, you can access that at eclipse.media.mit.edu. And I think that's all. I wanted to introduce you to Jimmy Wales. Most of you know him as the face and the founder of Wikipedia and the projects. And ever since his early discussions and philosophical debates about what it means, what it takes to run a project like Wikipedia, rough consensus and running code, to his most recent forays into free culture and the broader free culture movement, he's been a real hero to me. And I think to many of the people who ended up joining the projects. So I hope you'll welcome him. And I hope you all have I hope you all have a great time today, and you're all able to contribute back to the conversations you take part in, and in addition to just listening.
So I wanted to start out just showing a little clip of something. I hope this works. Okay, take two.
My mistake. Anyway, while crafting my scorching reply, I forgot whether I usually call Oregon California's Canada or Washington's Mexico. So I went to the internet encyclopedia Wikipedia to check their extensive entry on this show. I love Wikipedia. Any site that's got a longer entry on truthiness than on Lutherans has its priorities straight. Anyway, turns out I called Oregon both California's Canada and, on April 6th, Washington's Mexico. But thinking about it now, that's giving Oregon too much credit. They're more like Idaho's Portugal. So what I am going to do is I'm going to just log on to Wikipedia here, and I am going to change it. You see, any user can change any entry, and if enough other users agree with them, it becomes true. There. Now, Oregon's Idaho is Portugal. Oregon is Idaho's Portugal is the opinion I've always held. You can look it up. If only the entire body of human knowledge worked this way, and it can, thanks to tonight's word. Wikiality. Now, folks, I'm no fan of reality, and I'm no fan of encyclopedias. I've said it before.
Okay, enough of that. It goes on and on. Okay, so I'm going to talk today about our movement, past, present, and future. This is always the most difficult talk that I do every year. As most of you know, I travel pretty much constantly all over the world giving talk to people who don't know anything really about Wikipedia and our other projects. And this is the one talk each year where I have to give a talk to people who know everything I know plus more. So it makes it really hard to do. But what I wanted to do today is sort of go back to something really old and really talk about our fundamental mission. The radical idea behind Wikipedia is for all of us to imagine a world in which every single person on the planet is given free access to the sum of all human knowledge, and that's what we're doing. This is really our fundamental mission at the Foundation. It's our fundamental mission in all of our projects, and I want to review today where we've been in the last year since 1 year ago at Wikimania. I want to talk about some of the things that are going on right now, and I've got a couple of announcements, and then we're going to do more about that in the press conference later. And then I'm going to talk about what's coming up in the coming year and in the years to come. So the first thing I wanted to go through was the milestones. This year we had several significant milestones. The Swedish passed 100,000. The English passed 750,000 on September 29th. But then, as you all know, we passed 1 million after that in March. The Italians passed 100,000, French 200,000, Portuguese, Polish, Spanish, Japanese, Dutch, all had major milestones. The one that I don't have listed on here is German. The Germans passed 400,000, but for some reason on our page of milestones, that one's not listed as one that really counts. But the Germans will hit 500,000 very soon. So during this year, our traffic has grown a lot. A lot of things happened. We had a lot of news this year. One of the biggest things that you can remember was the whole Siegenthaler controversy. For those of you who somehow don't know what this is all about, well, apparently there was an error in Wikipedia. Who knew? So this error was found in Wikipedia, and Siegenthaler, who I will say it was a really bad error and it was a terrible thing that was written about him in the encyclopedia, it was fixed very quickly as soon as we realized it. They dragged me on CNN to yell at me, and that was about here in December. As you can see, it nearly killed the project. Our traffic nearly tripled as a result. So there's a funny backstory to this whole thing. When I was going on CNN to be yelled at, I had just recently visited at Nature, the science journal, and they had shown me an article that they were preparing, a study that they were preparing, but they showed me under embargo. They wanted me to sort of, while I was there, they wanted to get some comments. So I knew that this good news was coming out about Wikipedia, but I couldn't say anything about it. So I was on television and they're saying, well, isn't this really dangerous and scary? And I really wanted to say, well, it's not that dangerous. It's a little bit scary, sure, but so the Nature article that came out, basically, they reviewed a block of articles. It was, I think they sent out 50 for review, and they had something like 40-something good results. They were on selected scientific topics, and they selected articles which were roughly of the same length as the Britannica articles, and they found an average of around 4 errors per article in Wikipedia and an average of 3 per article in Britannica. Now, obviously, we were pleased with this result because I think it showed people a couple of important things. First of all, it showed people that contrary to the press coverage we had been getting in the previous weeks, Wikipedia isn't rubbish. It's actually pretty good. It isn't perfect, but it's pretty good. And the other thing that I think it showed people was that 3 errors per article in Britannica means that traditional references aren't necessarily the perfect thing that most people imagine them to be. I mean, we as Wikipedians doing our work day to day, we know how hard it is to get things right, and we know how many errors there are in all kinds of different sources. I think that's one of the great lessons that's coming out of this is that, our work is getting better and better, but as it gets better and better, we also begin to realize some of the limitations of some of the traditional works, which are quite good. I mean, certainly I'm a big admirer of Britannica. So what happened in this study that's really interesting is that we actually, in my opinion, we got pretty lucky. We got pretty lucky because we are stronger in science than in many other areas. I think if we had done the same sort of comparison on poets or artists, I think that we would not have fared nearly as well. We come from geek culture. We come from the free software movement. We have a lot of technologists involved, and therefore that's where our major strengths are. We know we have systemic biases. We know we have problems in the sense that a lot of the articles in the humanities aren't nearly as good as they could be. This has gotten better over time, but it's something that I think we still need to focus a lot of attention on, even to the point of thinking about how can we bring more people, more good quality editors into Wikipedia to help us improve those kinds of things. Another element of that study was that reviewers were told to focus strictly on the errors, not style. It was basically, fact by fact, how many errors do you find? Just count them up. Obviously, Wikipedia articles are often wonderfully well written and in wonderful style, and also in many other cases, they're a complete wreck of style. They're a complete wreck of style because what happens is people are editing as a group, and they're working on some controversy, and in the process, they work out the controversy, but the article itself ends up being very choppy and very difficult to read, very confusing for the end reader. That is something that also gets better over time, because what happens is once we achieve some consensus, somebody who's a good writer can come back through and smooth the article out. And, of course, they were comparing articles of similar length, so that meant that this was some of our best work rather than stubs. If they had sort of picked randomly, they might have found, for Britannic articles, they might have found a very short article for us. Of course, they might have found the opposite. Obviously, particularly outside of scientific topics, we have huge articles on things like truthiness that Britannica's never even heard of, right? And I'm just teasing there. We actually have really, really great articles on topics like the USB standard, which Britannica's also never heard of, and it's a perfectly legitimate topic. But my overall point is that although we've always had this goal that we should be Britannica or better quality, we all know we're not there yet. We aren't as good as Britannica yet. And so I think that one of the things that we can say is that in the coming years, I think one of the themes is going to be, and a big theme for me in the coming year, is a turn towards quality. especially in English, also in German, French, Japanese, and all of the larger languages, we can no longer feel satisfied and happy when we see those numbers going up. You know, when you go from 1.2 million articles to 1.8 million articles, what did you add? Well, you added a lot of interesting stuff, to be sure, a lot of long-tail stuff that other encyclopedias aren't going to cover. But I think we also need to be very interested in focusing our attention on improving the quality of the central core topics and finding ways to make those things better. So another thing that's been happening in the past year is the foundation has been maturing. One of the things that's always been true for us is that the projects have always been far ahead of the foundation's organizational capacity. We started as a very, very tiny organization. It was basically me sitting at home in my pajamas. And that worked pretty well for a while. Then I had to get dressed and go give speeches. And the foundation has always been a much smaller organization than almost anybody could imagine, given the magnitude of the cultural impact that we're having. I think that's going to continue to be the case. I don't see any reason to think that the cultural impact is going to decline, and for us to have an organization to match that, we would have to have, you know, hundreds or thousands of people working at the foundation. There's no way that's ever going to happen or would make any sense. But at the same time, the foundation is maturing. We're becoming a better run organization. We now have 5 employees, is that right? And we're finally getting to the point where we can actually begin applying for grants and actually expecting to get grant money and actually undertake new projects. Last week I met Jimmy Carter, and one of the things he was talking about, he was talking about aid to countries in Africa, which is one of his core interests. And he was explaining that many of the countries in Africa only receive about 20% of the aid that they are eligible for because they're so confused and busy and just sort of trying to get by that nobody even bothers to apply for the aid. And I thought, well, gosh, that sounds just like the Wikimedia Foundation, right? We have all of these organizations out there who are willing to throw money at us and help us. We have all of these ideas for projects, but we've never been able yet to get ourselves organized enough to actually go through with that and actually expand and do some of the interesting things that everybody wants to do. So about a few months ago, in September 2005, I got one of these goofy emails. It said, I'd be very interested to speak with you about your ideas and how they intersect with certain interests of mine. It'd be a pleasure to meet you and have a bite to eat. And this was from this character here, which is Brad. And then, you know, it's very dangerous to go and have lunch with me because the next thing you know, you might end up with a job. So this was Brad on his first day at work. Today I want to introduce to you Brad Patrick. We've hired Brad Patrick as Brad is a lawyer, and Brad started out his volunteer route into Wikipedia was we were at a point where the foundation was being overwhelmed with legal questions and complaints, and you know, none of them very serious, but we have to take them seriously because if you don't take them seriously, you can get in a lot of trouble. And we really a lot of these things are really customer service issues and making sure we're doing the right thing by everybody. Brad jumped in and started really helping us with a lot of those and became more and more involved. You know, the opportunity came up that he was thinking of changing his career path, and I said, wow, this is fantastic. So we hired Brad as general counsel for the foundation, but also he is serving as our interim CEO. He is going to lead a search process both within the community and outside the community for a longer-term CEO. But so far, in his first 2 months on the job, he's doing a spectacular job of actually getting the foundation organized, getting us moving in the right direction in terms of grant applications and all those kinds of things. So, Brad, do you want to say a couple words?
Yeah, the part that Jimmy failed to mention about the email was that I believe the email was dated in August of last year. And what I did was invite him to lunch. You know, I found out my path to Wikipedia was very simple. A year ago when Jimmy was giving his talk on 10 Things That Should Be Free, and I read it on the Lessig blog, which I'd been reading religiously for a very long time, and I said, you know, I wonder where this foundation is. I have no idea. I thought, you know, San Francisco maybe, somewhere. And I look and see it's in St. Pete, Florida, which is 20 minutes from where I live. And I thought, not in my backyard. I need to go meet this guy, and I need to find out who their lawyer is, and I want to be their lawyer. So in October, Jimmy emails me and says, so, can you call the office and we can set up a lunch date? I'm like, August, October, So in December, we got together and had lunch. But it's true. This is an amazing, amazing thing that we're in the middle of. And I couldn't be more excited about both the trajectory that's happening in on a scale that's really unimaginable, but more importantly, it's the opportunity to work with people and to know that this community is really unlike any other that we've seen, and to be part of the free culture movement and to be in a position where over the next series of jumps, we're going to just see astronomical progress. And I'm really excited about it. So good to meet you. Please say hi, and thanks.
Very good. So Brad makes it sound like I took a long time to get back to him, but that was actually like, you know, he emailed me one day. The next day I was in the office, I answered. And the next day I was in the office, we had lunch. So it was pretty quick, actually. Okay, so moving on to other news in our little world, I wanted to talk a little bit about Wikia being funded. So Wikia, of course, as most of you know, is my company doing wiki communities, building wiki communities, advertising-supported for-profit wiki communities. I think this is a real milestone because we managed to raise venture capital, and I say it that way to make it sound like it was difficult, but actually because of the success of Wikipedia, I was in the very fortunate position of being able to take my time and really choose the investors. And what I did is I really was very careful to choose investors who were willing to not only just say that they supported the goals of the foundation and the goals of the free culture movement, but to actually put that into the investment documents. And so we have a commitment from the investors that we are going to be able to support the Wikimedia Foundation in a major way with a portion of the money that we've raised. We are hiring several full-time engineers to improve MediaWiki. So this is really the first time that we've had a large group of programmers in a dedicated effort directed, you know, in a job sort of sense at improving the software. I mean, one of the interesting things about MediaWiki is that it's amazingly fantastic and it's all driven by volunteer development. Brian, of course, has been an employee of the foundation for some time, but there's a whole bunch of work going on around it. But it's very typical of lots of free software projects. It's very creative. There's lots of things going on. You know, as with, say, a Linux distribution, once we had Red Hat to actually package it together, make it neat, make it clean, you've actually got employees who are paid to do the boring bits. Volunteer developers prefer to do the interesting bits, of course. So I'm really excited because I think there have been a lot of improvements that people have wanted in the software that have lagged for many years. And in fact, the total number of people working on MediaWiki is just exploding. And so I think we're going to have a really big impact on the software and really make things a lot better for Wikipedia and for everybody in the whole community. As a company, we have a total commitment for free knowledge and respect for communities. That's really what the business is founded on, the idea that everything that made Wikipedia successful can now be expanded into other areas of free culture, and that there are actually can be business models to support this and that sort of thing. So that's basically where we're going in that direction. One of the first example projects, I just launched Campaigns Wikia, which is a project to try to improve the political discourse. I launched this on July 4th. I guess that's very American-centric, but I was thinking about politics that day and decided to just go ahead and plunge in and do this thing I'd been thinking about for a while. One of the things that we know as Wikipedians is that wikis can generate a very healthy dialogue and mutual understanding when it goes right. Of course, we also have lots of flame wars and idiotic fights over trivialities. But unlike any other medium that I've ever seen online, having been online and done a lot of things, wikis really do seem to drive people to understand each other and to build a consensus view. And so I've launched this new project to try to help improve the political environment. I'm hosting local meetups all over the world. Everywhere I go, I'm putting my travel schedule on our new worldwikia.com site, the travel site. And so far, it's been really exciting. It's really interesting. I had a meetup in Chicago last week, and all these new people came out, people who had, a couple of them had been Wikipedians, but most of them were just people who had heard about this, they knew about Wikipedia, and they thought, wow, this is really great. And so I really love that kind of idea that beyond those of us who take encyclopedias as a hobby, there's a whole world of possibilities for things, people who take politics as a hobby, where free culture can start to expand and grow and move into all kinds of different areas. So for me, that's really cool and fun, and that's what I'm working on these days. So I've got some announcements. This is the news for today. We're going to do some, we'll have some press releases later, and having the press conference to talk about all this in more detail. But one of the things is that today we're announcing that the One Laptop Per Child project, which is Nicholas Negroponte's project over at MIT, is including Wikipedia as the first element in their content repository. The whole concept, Nicholas has been talking about Wikipedia for a long time in conjunction with the $100 laptop project. I've heard him call it something like it could be the killer app for this device. It's a way for people to not only access knowledge through the content repository, but because these are networked computers, there's a real chance that if we get deeper and deeper penetration all over the world, that we're going to see whole new languages in Wikipedia begin to arise, places where we're currently not doing a very good job. So I'm very excited about the possibility that their project will succeed and that we can be somehow a part of that. The other big thing that's going on is that the board just approved Wikiversity. As most of you know, Wikiversity has been a project that's been under discussion in the community for a very long time. It went through several revisions as we really hammered out what it should look like, what it should be, what the limitations would be. The basic concept of Wikiversity is that this will be a center, a wiki on the web for the creation and use of free learning materials and activities. So Wikibooks works on textbooks. Wikiversity is much broader than that. Wikiversity includes all of the kinds of learning materials, which would be quizzes, review materials, tests, all kinds of different things like that, for all age groups, all languages. And also the idea here is to also host learning communities, so people who are actually trying to learn actually have a place to come and interact and help each other figure out how to learn things. We're also going to be hosting and fostering research into how these kinds of things can be used more effectively. This is a kind of an example where there are a lot of interesting things, a lot of interesting research projects that could be funded, where I believe that with the foundation maturing, we're actually going to be able to get a significant amount of funding to make some interesting things happen that haven't happened yet online, even though people have been dreaming about them for many years. The important things you need to know about Wikiversity is a 6-month beta trial period, and we're going to launch in 3 languages at first, and probably more languages than that if people are interested and get excited. So that's going to launch very soon. I'm not exactly sure the date yet, but within the month anyway. Yay. So how about the coming year? What's going to happen in the coming year? I've now given you a little bit of a review of where we've been in the past year, some of the things that have happened. I talked about some things that are going to happen in the very short term, but now I'm talking about more general things, things that that we know are going to be happening sometime in the coming year. One of the first things is that at the foundation we're going to be creating an advisory board. The board of the foundation just approved this concept. The idea here is that we're going to try to pull together a bunch of interesting and important people who can help us with their contacts, expertise, perspectives, prestige, strategic input. We anticipate that the advisory board will be able to help us with partnerships, public relations, financing, technology administration, international matters, and more. I think that the advisory board will have a very strong academic component, people who I think we're going to try to find people who are both very academic, but also have a deep understanding and appreciation for wiki-style free culture to help us really think deeply about what can we do to improve all of our work, what can we do to improve, for example, Wikibooks, to have our textbook project stronger, how do we do quality control on Wikipedia, all those kinds of things. We're going to have a more formal advisory board to help assist the foundation in figuring those kinds of things out. One of the things in the software world that's coming is something I'm very excited about, is WikiWig. We're working, Wikia and SocialText are working together to port, SocialText has WikiWig technology, which is in the SocialText wiki. We're porting that to MediaWiki. We're not exactly sure when we're going to release it. It's a very hard and complicated problem, but we've got Wikia and SocialText is devoting some full-time people to the project. My anticipation is that this is going to be a really big part of the future of wiki editing and a really big part of the free culture movement in the long run. I always like to tell a story. A friend of mine went to Harvard. She has a PhD in ancient Chinese literature. She's one of the smartest people I've ever known. And she had never heard of Wikipedia. She joked to me she can barely use the internet because she spent the last 15 years living in the 8th century. So she, you know, one day she woke up from the 8th century and looked in Newsweek magazine and saw my picture, and she knew me. We went to high school together. And we got into contact, and she was very excited. She loved the idea of Wikipedia. She loves the idea of sharing free knowledge. She looked up articles about the poets who she studies in Wikipedia, and she thought, well, they won't have anything at all. And she said, oh, actually, you know, the articles are pretty good. They're not great. They're pretty good. She said her description of it was funny to me. She said they read like an elderly Chinese man in San Francisco who loves the old poets wrote the articles. And I thought, you know, it could be true, right? Because we have a lot of that. We have a lot of passionate people who really care about a certain topic. As she said, these articles are good, but they weren't up to date on the latest academic research. They weren't written, to include a lot of the information that she would have included. And so she was very eager. She said, I'm going to jump in. I'm going to start editing Wikipedia. But then she never did. And why didn't she? She didn't because she clicked on edit and she saw some really scary template codes and this, that, and the other, and she didn't really know what to do. And so my belief is we have, in a half-joking manner for years in the community, when it's difficult to edit, we think of that as, maybe it's not so bad there's a little bit of a barrier to entry, right? But the problem is that barrier to entry, the technological barrier to entry, it keeps out a lot of really, really smart people, like my friend, who are geeks but not computer geeks, and it doesn't really keep out, other kinds of idiots, right? They're very motivated. They learn how to edit wiki text, right? And so then we have to deal with them anyway. So the idea that we're sort of having some sort of an intelligence test by making it hard to edit just doesn't work in practice. So I think that WikiWig, in some shape or form, is really the future of the internet. And I think that we can be really spearhead that effort and bring it to the public using this technology. So I'm really excited about that. It's a big project, but at least it's finally, it's really moving forward after people have been talking about it for a long time because we're devoting the resources to actually try to make it happen. I think that in the coming year, I think we're going to have a really strong quality initiative. I'm speaking here primarily of the English Wikipedia, although the same thing can apply to the smaller Wikipedias. I think it's fine for smaller Wikipedias to focus to some extent on quantity. We've always been a little uncomfortable with focusing exclusively on quantity, but it's certainly okay if you say, well, we only have 15,000 articles. That really doesn't make much of an encyclopedia. And to say, well, we really are concerned about getting lots and lots of people involved and getting lots and lots of articles. But with more than 1 million articles in English, I think we should continue to turn our attention away from growth and towards quality. I think that the quality of our work should be something that we're all very deeply passionate about, and we should really be thinking about how to adjust our social models, how to adjust the software, what are all the things, the little tweaks and tricks that we can use to get to a higher quality level. One of the social things that I think we can do is WP Bio. During this past year, in the English Wikipedia in particular, our policies on biographies of living persons have become much more refined and really a strong focus on higher quality. Part of this is just in response by the community to not just the Siegenthaler incident, but to lots of other similar incidents. As Wikipedia has gotten to be larger and larger, two things happen. It's become more and more important, so everybody who's famous, like Stephen Colbert, looks himself up in Wikipedia. But also because the project's gotten larger and larger, we're actually writing articles about less and less famous people. So you can write anything you want about George Bush, and he's not going to call up on the phone and complain, right? He's heard it all. But what happens is we have very minor celebrities and sort of controversial people. They read their article in Wikipedia, and if it isn't good, then they complain, they get upset. There's a sort of typical pattern where I've seen this happen over and over and over. somebody, they go to an article and they see something they don't like in it, so they blank the article, right? So somebody warns them, and then they blank again, and they get blocked, right? Then they make a legal threat, and then they really get blocked. And it's just like a totally bad experience for that person, when in fact, they may have been right in the first place. Or maybe they weren't right. Maybe they just didn't like what we wrote about them, but still, we didn't handle it well. And I think social policies have evolved in the recent years, in the recent months, to actually handle this problem a lot better. A lot of the admins and experienced editors are taking a really strong stand against unsourced claims, which is always a typical example of the problem. So my feeling is, my sense of it is, that the living biographies part of Wikipedia, which is one of the most difficult and most important areas, is one where we're really seeing a really massive movement towards higher quality. A lot of people in the community are really committed to that. And the few people who are still sort of in the old days saying, well, you know, it's a wiki, why don't we just... Yeah, they're kind of falling by the wayside because lots of people are starting to realize, yeah, actually, we have a really serious responsibility to get things right. Another item is image tagging. We've made huge progress in the last year on image tagging. We had some really, really problematic categories with images that had no source at all and claimed fair use. Well, you can't really claim fair use if you don't even give a source. Those have all been virtually eliminated. There's some people who've done some really fantastic work in that area. And it's been a big social battle for people. The experienced admins and administrators who really believe in this sometimes have to go out there and fight with newbies who really don't understand or get it. I think in the early days of this, they weren't getting as much support from everybody else as they were. I've seen that change now. I've seen that we've got a lot of support from a lot of people to say the image tagging has to be nearly perfect. It has to be really good, and we'd rather do without an image than have something that's botched up. There's still a lot of work to do in refining and reforming fair use. There's an ongoing discussion about that. The issues surrounding fair use are actually very complicated because fair use is very complicated. But it's also complicated by the fact that we don't want to rely on fair use in cases where we can get a free alternative image. There are many images where we can perfectly legitimately and legally say, under the doctrine of fair use, we can use this image. But we would prefer not to. We would prefer instead to get a free image. And I think there's been a lot of resistance to that idea from people who prefer to sort of be lazy and sort of nick an image somewhere and say this is good enough. But I think that tide has turned, and I think that the people who are working on the fair use tagging and the rules for fair use have done a really fantastic job of changing people's minds and actually making people realize that we should limit fair use to only some very narrow categories. Categories where we feel it's worth it to take a stand for fair use. Fair use is a perfectly good doctrine in copyright law. It basically says the rights of copyright holders are not infinite. They do not extend to every possible thing that you might want to do. At the same time, though, we only want to use it in those cases where it's really worthwhile doing it and where it doesn't actually hinder the growth of free content. A friend of mine loves to upload pictures of baseball players that he goes and takes himself. And you know what? His pictures aren't as good as the ones that somebody nicked from a website somewhere, a publicity photo. But they're free. They're under a free license, and anyone can use them anywhere in the world for any purpose. I'd rather have an image from a Wikipedian that's not quite as good than a professional image, which we can only use under the very narrow doctrine of fair use. We're not fundamentally about having a really pretty encyclopedia. We're fundamentally about having a free encyclopedia, and in the end, that's far more pretty, if you ask me. So we're making progress there, and in my view is in the coming year we're gonna do a lot more. I think by 1 year from today we'll be able to stand here and say, other than the daily nonsense that goes on as people are sort of struggling to figure out what a new image is and things like that, I think we're going to have really good comfort level that our images are all properly tagged and that our fair use is not just what's legal for us to use, but actually a very narrow group of fair use images which are necessary for us to use. Stable versions. This is an idea that's been discussed a lot in the German Wikipedia, and the German press has been recently covering the idea. There's a commitment to roll out as soon as possible a stable versions experiment in German Wikipedia. Just to make clear, some people were concerned that if I said this in my talk, it would be viewed as a surprise announcement for the German community. I'm not intending to announce anything new that hasn't already been discussed in the German community, so I just wanted to make that clear. Sometimes I say things sort of off the cuff, and then people freak out because they think announce something. But in particular, I think that the details of this should be widely discussed at this conference. I would love to have this be a really fantastic sort of theme of the evening party conversations, is to talk about how can we get to fair, how can we get to stable versions. Stable versions, one of the neat things about stable versions is they will allow us to move further in the direction of openness. For a long time, we had to just protect articles whenever there was a rush of vandalism. So we have a big rush of vandalism, we protect the article. Well, that's a bad thing. So we've moved now to using semi-protection, which is better because now lots of people can still edit. But stable versions are even better than that because it means that we can simultaneously achieve the two goals of allowing anyone to edit anything at any time, while at the same time showing the general public something that is not too frightening, right? That's a big part of the mission. I mean, we have to lock certain articles because we can't afford to let the trolls sort of make us look bad. But with stable versions, we can actually let the trolls do whatever they please, and we just block them and revert them, while at the same time we can show the public a version that's not been vandalized. There are 1,000 questions. We've been discussing it forever in the community, but I personally feel that if we don't get this done, you know, the Germans are going to do the experiment first. If we don't get this done and rolled out in English Wikipedia, by the time I get up to do my keynote next year, we're really, really making a big mistake. I think this is one of the most important things that we can do to preserve the openness of Wikipedia, but also improve the quality and the quality of experience for the end user. So the last thing I wanted to go through, last year, as most of you know, I think SJ might have mentioned it earlier, Brad mentioned it, I did 10 things that will be free. And I looked through my 10 things that will be free last night, actually, to think about how many of those things I could actually update everybody on. And it was just a few of them. Some of the others I haven't actually followed. They're not projects of ours, so I'm not really sure what's going on. And so at some point, I think it's going to be worth revisiting all 10 and seeing how they're doing. But I just wanted to talk for a minute about a handful of these. Wikipedia, and it was actually kind of fun to take a look at what I said last year. For Wikipedia, the idea, free the encyclopedia. I said last year that in English and in German, if you have a broadband internet connection, our mission is done. I said, of course, the encyclopedia has a lot of work to do, but it is an encyclopedia and it is free, and it's pretty good. And also French, Japanese, et cetera, not far behind. Now, obviously, French and Japanese now, I would say, they've passed certain thresholds that I would say this is a complete encyclopedia and, you know, mission accomplished, so to speak. I shouldn't say mission accomplished. That phrase has been permanently ruined, right? It was a perfectly good bit of English, and now it's ruined, right? Actually, maybe it's sort of accurate. Mission accomplished, but there's still skirmishes every day, right? I don't know. But the fight goes on. Much work to do globally. So my update on this is pretty much more of the same. We do now have 100 languages with at least 1,000 articles, but we're still not doing a whole lot for people in developing nations. The languages that we are good at, we're really good at, and the languages that we're not good at, we're making progress, but the progress is unfortunately slow. So my solution is that I propose that the foundation seek funding to hire community coordinators and recruiters for important languages where we currently do poorly. It's a very simple concept here, which is in the early days of English Wikipedia, I was there, Larry Sanger was there, we were meeting and greeting, we were recruiting, we were emailing people to ask them to help us. In a lot of the smaller languages, of course, volunteers do pick this up and try to do it, but many times they're talking to much smaller communities, right? It's really easy for me, or for anybody in English to get online and start emailing lots and lots and lots of professors and graduate students and talking to smart people everywhere. It's a lot harder to do that in Swahili. And so my view is that we should be looking to hire some people in order to simply do this, to simply be there as the advocate and the coach, to actually go out and look for contributors, to actually meet and greet the contributors, help them, train them, teach them, to actually reach out to volunteers. I mean, I don't think I've ever met a Wikipedian who would say no if a language coordinator emailed them and said, actually, there's a professor who lives near you and he would like to edit Wikipedia, but he doesn't know how. Would you go by his office and give him a 2-hour tutorial? Any Wikipedian would say yes to that immediately. I mean, that would be very exciting to go and meet someone who wants to work in, some Bengali a very important language where we do very poorly. It'd be fantastic to start that kind of outreach program. So that's what I'm proposing that we do there. Free the Dictionary was my second one, Wiktionary. Last year I said, not as far along as Wikipedia, but picking up steam, and I said it needs software development for support. The current status on that is that there's been some amazing work going on at Wiktionary Z. If you haven't had the chance to do so, you should go to Wiktionary Z and check it out. You should talk to Gerard Mason or Eric Moeller to give you a demo. Here's Gerard. Ask them to give you a demo of the software. Eric's around somewhere too. Ask them to give you a demo of what they've been working on and some of the ideas there. It is not yet functional. They need help. They've got people working on it. They've managed to get some funding to have some work accomplished there. It's really exciting stuff, and I think it's going to start to be functional later this year. I think before the end of the year, they're going to have something that people can actually dig in and start using, and that's going to be a really exciting thing because until you've seen the software, I don't think you've really, at least maybe I'm speaking for myself, I never really thought about what it would mean to build a multilingual dictionary correctly until I started to look at the software, talk to Gerard. Brace yourself when you talk to Gerard because he knows a lot about it, and it's very complicated, and I got lost like 10 times. I'm like, Gerard, I don't understand. Explain it again. But finally I got it when he showed me the demo, so I think it's really exciting what's going on in Wiktionary. Free the curriculum, complete curriculum in every language. This is what I said last year, much bigger task than the encyclopedia. Talked about Wikibooks. And so this year, of course, the status is Wikibooks has gotten a lot bigger and lots of exciting things going on there. But we also now have the launch of the Wikiversity beta. And this is an area where I think that the increasing ability that the foundation is going to have to pursue grants is going to give this project a really bright future. I think that there's a lot of interesting things that can go on here. And one of the proposals I have here is that we work with people like Taddy Blecker. I met Taddy Blecker last week, and Taddy is an amazing guy. I wish he could be here. I'm going to see if I can get him to come and give us a talk next year. Basically, what Taddy does, he runs a university in South Africa that is completely free for all the students. It costs them nothing, essentially, to go there. And the students come from the very poorest shanty towns in South Africa. And basically what they do, it's a program where they give them training, education, and they've been very, very successful. They graduate about 1,000 people per year. People go out and get jobs. One of the conditions that they have for the people who come there, and this is sort of like a Habitat for Humanity kind of idea, is that the people who benefit are required to actually go out and teach other people, and they have a whole program set up to do that. Well, when I talked to Taddy, he said, one of the big costs that they have is learning materials. The learning materials that they have are proprietary and expensive, and I feel like that's something that we could help with. I mean, okay, there's educational materials that need to be written. Well, this is what we do. We write things. So I'm going to be talking to him about making a proposal to us and just, working with him and saying, I said to him, I said, Taddy, what can we do to help you? And he started to tell me lots and lots of things, and he's going to write all this down, and I'm going to share it with everybody. So I think it's, with Wikiversity, I think this idea of free the curriculum is something that has really great prospects for the future. So those are the things that I wanted to update everybody on from the talk last year. And that's essentially what I have to talk about today. So that's all. I don't know, how are we doing on time? How are we doing on time? Is there anybody in charge of this conference? It's like a wiki. About 5 minutes. I can take, if we have 5 minutes, I can take one question from the back here.
I'm acutely aware of your sensitivity to not having vendors or services create a little paper. So I think some of them have been seen.
Right.
But some of them have been very discreet. Their name, one paragraph, and a click to their home page. The reason I bring this up is because some of us are trying to create this open source intelligence and open source software and open spectrum environment that is underlain by very specific sources of information, some free, some not free, software, some open, some not, and services, some free, some not. So I would beg of you to consider allowing one paragraph listing of sources, software, and services.
Okay. It's not up to me, right? It's up to the editors. I think that actually what you're raising is a very similar question to the living biographies question, right? Living biographies of living people is something we struggle with. Biographies of existing companies and organizations is something else we struggle with. And we struggle with it for, you know, a lot of different reasons. I think one of the big topics that we will have, around the edges in this conference is, and particularly for English Wikipedia, I haven't met an experienced Wikipedian in a long time who didn't say that articles for deletion is a mess, right? It's very contrary to our traditions of kindness and loving and respect for others. Things get deleted that shouldn't. Things get kept that shouldn't. The arguments that get made there are often sort of strange and don't make any sense. And these problems are compounded in particular in the cases of organizations, companies, things like that. In general, I think there should be nothing wrong with having a one-paragraph summary of, a stub about a company seems fine if there's verifiable information. But it's a complex social process, so it's kind of hard. It's not for me to sort of set my foot down and say we can have a one-paragraph article about everything. But people should discuss these things. So, okay, I think that's it, and I think we've got time and...
We are running a little bit late, but I
think, I'm sorry.
No. I think that's fine.
Okay.
We're going to end in 5 minutes. We still have time for another 10 minutes of questions or so.
Okay. I don't want us to run late, but I'm happy to keep working.
It's
my job.
It's a half-hour break. I think people will be all right with
it. Okay. Super. Okay. If we have a couple more questions, that would be good. Here's one in the center. We have mics. So keep in mind there is going to be a board panel. When is that? On Sunday. And that will be probably a more appropriate question forum for general questions about the foundation and the future and things like that. I'm happy to answer questions like that if they come up. I'd prefer today to maybe stick to just some of the things that I talked about, clarifying questions, things like that. Raul? Here we have a mic.
For the stable versions you talked about, there have been proposals already predating any kind of enhancements in the software, but were you thinking specifically of actual changes to MediaWiki that would support it, and if so, can you elaborate on what we can expect?
Okay. I think you can expect that you should talk to Brian, and you should talk to Kurt and Elian and anybody else who's here from German Wikipedia. The discussion that's gone on in the German community, there's a pretty strong support there for the idea of stable versions. A proposal was put forward to do just the most simple, basic possible thing, which is, basically just a flag to say this is a stable version or not that would affect how and when it's displayed. The details are still very much open. The last I heard from Brian, he was good to go to implement it, but he had a couple questions, and then he didn't get answers in time and things like that, or it would have been done by now. So I think the thing to do is, like, this is what I think people should really talk about here at this conference. And what I would recommend that we do is the absolute simplest possible thing. I mean, one of our traditions in this community has always been to just dig in and start doing something that we know is simple, but it sort of works, right? Instead of waiting until we design the perfect system. And I think in the stable versions issue, we've been debating and discussing it for a long time, and I've come to realize the mistake that we've made is the classic mistake that we normally don't make, which is to wait until we think we've figured everything out a priori and then do something. Instead, I think we should run small experiments, tests, see what works, see what doesn't, be prepared to be flexible and change, and not be too sort of locked into stone about, you know, how things should work. So that's essentially... how's that for a complete non-answer? Ask Brian. That's a good answer. So, okay. There's a question all the way in the back in the center. I think we have two mics, so if people want to raise their hand and get the attention of the other mic, then we could go quicker. Hello.
Hello. Okay. As bandwidth connects hundreds of millions and billions of people around the world, there will be a lot of talent that's looking to be recognized to gain reputation. And I was wondering if you see ways that Wiki University or potentially similar projects to build open source plug-and-play components, hopefully, for peaceful and civil institutions to emerge from the grassroots up, e-government-like components that introduce transparency into economic and social relations. Do you see ways systematically that this reputation new talent pool could earn visibility and reputation by adding to humanity's pool of resources of this kind?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one of the things that I think we're going to see in the coming years, one of the things we are seeing is the cost of communication continues to drop very, very quickly. One of the things I say is that, the cost of communications is dropping very, very quickly in places where the cost of food is not dropping. And so, you know, all those people who are starving in Africa, they're going to call us to complain. The idea here, though, is that as we see communication technologies penetrate more and more areas of the world, more and more people have access, I think there's a natural process that's going to happen of people who were formerly not able to be recognized because they didn't have the ability to communicate to be able to communicate and to be recognized. And I don't know what kind of mechanism. I don't view that as something that is necessarily our fundamental task, although we obviously pay a big role in that. If we can radically change the cost of what it takes to get knowledge, which means not just the encyclopedia being free to everyone, but also all the learning tools that a person needs in order to be able to use an encyclopedia, then we're going to play a big role in that. But the actual practical things that are going to come out of this are, I think, things we can't even predict. I mean, in many ways, it's like the growth of the interstate system, right, which gave rise to all kinds of different changes in society and changes in the way people live their lives that weren't directly about roads at all. And I think, you know, the internet, the set of pipes, I think it's, I heard. This set of pipes, it's not a truck. Tubes, it's not a truck. This set of tubes has obviously it had an impact on the industry that provides the infrastructure, but it's had a huge social impact beyond. In the same way, I think that free culture does a lot of things sort of directly in the education market, but it's going to have all kinds of implications beyond that are very interesting. So, it's all very interesting. So before we close, I wanted to really single out and thank our sponsors, in particular, Answers.com. I believe that who is someone here representing Answers.com? I got an email from Bob Rosenshine, their CEO. He's in Israel, and he's unfortunately delayed due to the difficulties there, but he should be here tomorrow, and I want everybody to try to meet Bob and thank him. He's always been a big supporter of the foundation. Amazon.com, the Berkman Center, of course, is hosting us here. I think when they invited me to become a fellow of the Berkman Center, they had no idea I was going to bring all my friends. But here we are. Nokia and OSI both have sponsored people to be here and brought people from all over the world. WikiHow, Jack is probably here somewhere. I can't thank Wikia because that's thanking myself, but Wikia is also a sponsor of the conference. And I hope I got everybody. In the closing ceremony, I'm going to really, single out a lot of people who have really made this happen, but I just wanted to say a few words about the sponsors right now. So. Very good. I think it's time for a break. We have a 30-minute break, and then you have to do what SJ says.